Such a blessing in my life and Lillian's life, and I think if any of you know her well, you know she's been a blessing in your life as well. Pastor Bill is still out sick. Please keep him in prayer, but he's an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're not going to stop praying for him, and you know he'll be back next week. I'm sure he will. I mean, he's a fighter, and he's full. Oh, you guys are on vacation. Look at you. Was this a plan of Pastor Bill's? Take early vacation. I'm just kidding. No, seriously, he wants to be here. No, he's not been feeling well, so keep him in prayer. And here's the prayer. Can we pray real quick for him that he enjoys his a well-deserved vacation, amen, with Rebecca? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for healing over his body now in Jesus' name. And we stand in agreement in prayer. We know you'll do it, God, because we're asking something that's totally in your will, and that's healing. You always have been a healer, and you always will be a healer. So we know this has just been a test for Pastor Bill, but he's passing the test. He's full of faith. And we just pray, God, that no weapon formed against him will prosper in the name of Jesus. And we pray that he'll have a blessed vacation, a blessed time off. Let him be refreshed, God, not fighting off any sickness, but, Lord, in good health, enjoying his time with his wife. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Would you welcome Rebecca up to the stage? Awesome.
Thanks, Mike. Oh, gosh. This is the day the Lord has made. This is exciting. God is good. It's a beautiful day. Bill is just, he went to the doctor last week and got some antibiotics and everything. He thought, okay, I'm well, I'm over. And he really pushed it, I think. And so now he's just, you know, it kind of digressed again or came back. And so, keep him in your prayers. He's doing good. He's just trying to take it easy. And I had a really busy past few weeks because, I'm in school and everything, and I graduated Friday night. I got a picture up here. Christine and Rachel and AJ. AJ didn't want to get the picture, but they were able to come and be with me. And that was really a blessing, really an exciting time for me, because this time last year I was sitting in a graduation, that ceremony actually, with Rhea watching Carolina graduate. I said, this time next year. And, you know, I was just kind of threw that out there. But God last summer just opened the doors for me to take three classes. I've never taken three classes in the summer. And it was just like, you know, and it's just God's grace. Last time I spoke to talk about, you know, feeling like I was on a wave, you know, just riding towards my destination. And it was just carrying me. And the grace of God is there. Easy? No. Not at all. And I'm going to share a little bit about that this morning. But anyway, so I really want to give the worship team a hand this morning. Those songs went right along with my message, and I had not talked to Jordan. This is exciting. And so we're going on vacation tomorrow. We'll be gone for a week to St. Augustine. And so keep us in your prayers. So all the weather will be nice, and we won't have any issues or anything. We're going to be right on the beach, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so excited about it. So anyway, Friday night, like I said, I graduated, and I had exams and finals, and I didn't even hardly get to look at my biology, for those of you who know me. Math was tormenting for me this past couple weeks. I came this close to quitting math, and if I had quit math, I would have not been in that graduation. And I just felt like I needed to just get through it, you know, and make it, and it was so hard. But I knew God was calling me to do it. And thank God I did. Amen. And so anyway, on Friday, Bill said, oh, Lord, I don't think I'm going to feel like preaching Sunday. So I just knew God was saying, you know, you need to speak. And I spend time with him every morning. And I write out devotions. And most of the time when I write them out, I feel like, well, that's a message. One of these days I'll give that message. I used to have a blog. I thought I might, after I get out of school, start the blog again. And just share my devotions with people when feel like the Lord's speaking to me, that might encourage others as they've encouraged me. And and so I just had this written down from last week, this word. And I thought, well, this is my opportunity to share. I feel like God's called me to do that. Amen. So I'm going to be talking this morning. First of all, I just want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Your presence is so awesome in this place this morning, and in my heart and all of our hearts. We love you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we have to be here this morning and just to worship you in freedom and in your presence. Amen. The name of my message is Finding Peace in the Details. Life is all about the details. You know, we've got the big picture, Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You're supposed to pass out. I mean, if you haven't want notes, please raise your hands. I didn't have time to make a, you know, fill in the blank thing. So just write down whatever comes, whatever you want to from this message this morning. I'm just grateful I get to give it, but I'm not a really, you know, didn't have a whole lot of time to make it note friendly. All right. So finding peace in the details. Have you ever heard about that little idiom that says, the devil's in the details? That was really, that's a popular proverb that's spoken all over the world. Spain, Germany, Brazil, I did a little research on it. Turkey, Italy, you know, the devil's in the details. Well, what is that to know that makes you feel like it's not a good situation here? It's not going to be a good outcome, right? And, but it means that, you know, there's a small element of trouble here that's going to affect and cause trouble in the big picture. And I'm sure we've all experienced that to some degree if you're an adult. If you're younger in here, you know, brace yourself. That's the way it's going to be. But because life is not perfect. And, you know, especially like as far as contracts go, if you don't read the fine print, how many know you can get in a whole lot of trouble sometimes? I'm not a detailed person. Bill is, man. He can just sit and just go over every little detail for hours and hours. I'm like, just give me the bottom line. You read it, give me the bottom line. And, but, you know, we're all responsible ourselves, personally, for the details for our life, the choices we make. And we don't want to get going in the wrong direction. I was listening to Kenneth Copeland speak the other day. He's a pilot, and he said he was in flight school, and his teacher was so hard on him. He says, if you get one nth of a degree off in your estimation of, you know, where you want to go, your journey, you will get way off eventually. And Bill shared that before. I don't know that much about that, but we know how important details are. There was a German architect in 1969, Mr. Van der Rohe, I think is the name, how you pronounce it. And he was quoted in the New York Times saying, regarding his buildings, with a better idiom, saying, God is in the details. That was printed in the New York Times in 1969. And since then, that idiom has been used a lot. And that's the one that I want to embrace. And how about you all this morning? Amen. We have this life. It's a gift from God. And what we do with it is so important. Every day matters. Sometimes every moment matters. And the little things in our life can change our whole trajectory. The little decisions that we make sometimes. And so I just want to really hit it home with you this morning that think about the fact that the Lord loves us. He sent his son to die for us so that we could be free to make the right choices. His choices. That's what the gospel means, the good news. And so developing a relationship with him and working through that throughout our lifetime was his goal for Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross for us. That was the way that he made for us to really be able to embrace the reality of our life is in our hands. Yeah, it's in God's hands, but our life is in our hands in so many ways. We make the decision. We have to make the initial decision to follow the Lord, right? You believe in your heart. You confess with your mouth. Nobody's making you do that. You have to decide for yourself. Okay, so what should a human's fundamental goal and purpose in life be? Think about that for a second. What should your main goal and fundamental goal and purpose in your life? In general, it should be to know God and to fulfill his pleasure. Philippians 3:8 says, and you can go back and, you know, write these scriptures down, read them over again, you know, think about them, soak them in, meditate on them. That word is not meditate like some weird thing, but it's to think about something that you've read or you just mull over it and absorb it. It says, the Apostle Paul said, I count everything as loss compared to the priceless privilege and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord and of growing more deeply and thoroughly acquainted with him, it's a joy unequaled. And he was actually comparing his renouncing and leaving all of the accolades that he had from his life before Christ. Before Christ, he was a Jew. He was very well known. He was a very upstanding and prosperous man in his community. And he heard about Jesus and the people following him, and he actually began to go and kill the Christians, thinking, you know, that they were doing God a dishonor by following Jesus. But then he got born again. I don't know if you know the story, but he kind of had this revelation. It's a long story, that that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and he gave his life completely over to him, and he served him every day, and he just gave his life for the Lord from that point on. And he considered it a priceless privilege and a supreme advantage to know him. And it's true. Sometimes we get caught up in the things of this life, and we think the things in this life are just what's important. But the most important thing is him. Amen? And then it says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is not your strength," this is the Amplified Version, "but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work." That is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. And the Lord wants us to fulfill our purpose, not to make us feel good necessarily, or to be blessed necessarily, because we will feel good when we're fulfilling our purpose, the reason we were created. We will be blessed when we're in the will of God, regardless of what that is. But it is for his glory. Whatever we do, it is for his glory and his good pleasure. It's easy to fixate on the struggles and difficulties we encounter as we endeavor to know him and fulfill his purpose for our life. But this is self-sabotage, and it is not God's will for our life. In other words, we get ourselves in a tizzy sometimes. I know I'm the world's worst. You know, the Bible says that God makes our weakness. Our weakness is our strength, because when you're a Christian, you're trying to grow and develop and become more Christ-like. So you're going to focus on the areas where you're weak, you know, and you should. And I try to, and I just came from a very emotional, passionate type of a family. Everything was like, ah, you know, and I just, it's like ingrained in me. It's like a DNA, and emotional, oh my God, you know, this happened or that happened, and it's the end of the world, and it was really nothing much, you know. And so I have to try to separate myself from it's the end of the world every day. And Bill has really helped me. I have to say, he has really helped me in this area. He doesn't put up with that. But he'll just stand there and look at me, not say anything. I'm like, give me some feedback. And then by then, I'm calmed down. I move on. But anyway, so, you know, the Lord wants us to just to be stable and strong in him and move on. Stay calm and move on. That's one of my favorite little phrases that's popular today. All right, let's see. We need to also recognize that the attempt of the devil, our enemy, is to distract us and divert us from our purpose. When something comes along to try to distract you and divert you from your purpose, guess who's behind it? It's the devil. It doesn't matter if it comes in circumstances, like one thing after another. Sometimes, how many know, one thing after another, certain days, it's just like, I can't win for losing here. I'm just going home and go to bed, you know. God help me get home and get to bed. But the thing, the Bible says, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so you can't blame people. You can't blame circumstances. You just got to stand still, the Bible says, and see the salvation of God sometimes. You just got to stand there and go, whoa, Lord, what's going on here? What should I do next? Instead of, you know, freaking out, or, you know, fainting or quitting or crying. You know, it's okay to cry, but I mean, how many know? I know I sometimes will just, it just gets out of hand. And you got to, whoa, regroup. Lord, let me be sober. Let me be vigilant. That's a scripture. I don't know where it is, but it's just going to be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because the devil, your adversary, is coming to kill, steal, and destroy things in your life. You've got to be vigilant. Amen? All right. There's three ways to prevent self-sabotage. Okay, self-sabotage means basically that you're doing things, you're making choices, you're allowing things to happen in your life that are actually going to defeat you in your purpose for God. Even the smallest thing sometimes, like I said earlier about the contractors, it can just completely destroy your life. And that should put a fear of God in you every day. It's just like, you know, God's grace is sufficient, but if you're aware of a situation that you know you should not go into, that you something that you you're about to say that you know you better not say, whoa, prepare yourself. I know I have been, I have blown it. We've all blown it. It has been, we're humans, right? But the thing of it is, today I'm hoping to awaken something in each of us more and more and more. Every day when I spend time with the Lord, every day it's like I regroup with Him from the day before, in the week before, and the year before, and I just say, Lord, you know, this is your day. This is my life, is yours. I take me from here and help me to do everything the way you want me to. His grace is sufficient when we put ourselves in that position. I tell you, it is. Okay, the three ways to prevent self-sabotage. Number one, don't dwell on the what ifs or the if only. Onlys. The second one is don't let your feelings rule. And number three, rest in God's faithfulness. Number one, we're going to cover that one. Don't dwell on what ifs or if onlys. This is my little tweet. You can tweet if you want. Life isn't always going to line up the way you want it to. So tweak it. That word tweak is kind of a modern day slang, you know, like at the soundboard, you know, that doesn't sound right. Tweak it. It means to adjust it, to fine tune it. You know, sometimes our life, we get, I know I have so many times, and it can actually destroy you. If your life doesn't go just the way you think it's going to go, depending on how far you take it, it can just throw you into a tizzy. It can just crush you. And at my age, 62, I started serving the Lord when I was 22 years old, wholeheartedly, 100%, totally committed to Him. It's from my heart. Perfect? No. But I was just, that's it. From now, I'm going to serve God. And I'll never forget in a meeting that we had, a small like workshop, the guy said, now listen, you know, envision your future from now till you die. How do you want things to go? You know, just write it out. I thought, oh, this is great. You know, because the way I envision it and the way I'm going to write it out, it's the way it's going to go. I don't know why I did not get that. That's not necessarily the case, but it's good for you to do. So I had, number one, I'm going to do this. Number two, this is going to happen. I want to have that. Yeah. And to a degree, you know, it was of God. It really has come to pass to a degree. But in my mind's eye, everything was going to be perfect. Everything was just going to fall into place. And guess what? It didn't. Not exactly. And I'm a kind of a picky person like that. You know, I can remember like 30 years ago something that I thought, Lord, this is the way I want this to happen. And I wrote it down in my journal. And it's not going to happen that way, folks. I mean, you know, it's like overdue. You know, I mean, it's just not going to happen that way. And through the years, I would go up and down emotionally and feel like, you know, what, you know, Lord, you know, where did I go? What's going on here? And the Lord has really begun to reveal to me in the past couple, 5 years or so, the revelation of the fact that, you know, He's in control, and yet we have a role to play into that situation. We have to agree with His word. We have to hear His plan, and we have to obey it. And are we going to always do it perfectly? No. That's where His grace comes in. That's where restoration and redemption comes in. But at the same time, for the most part, that's going to happen, because that's what His word says. His grace is sufficient for us, and He loves us, and He's going to bless us. Amen. But when things don't go just the way we want them to, rather than letting it crush us or destroy us or make us want to quit or whatever, we just have to regroup. We just have to pick it up and move forward. Amen? Pick up the will of God, the plan of God. Pick up our cross and follow Him. That's basically what the Bible says that you're doing. So we need to prayerfully tweak the annoying and disappointing obstacles in the way of our goals, and this should be a way of life. And it's kind of hard. You have to humble yourself sometimes, and you know, because maybe you like Joseph in the Bible. He started talking about how God had called him to, you know, be powerful. You know, one, I don't know if you, most, you may not be familiar with the story, but you can go look it up in the Bible or ask somebody about it. But he had a bunch of brothers. They were really humble, and the whole family was. But yet his dad knew kind of that he was going to someday be someone great and wonderful. So he made Joseph as a young man a little coat of many colors. Have y'all heard of that little story? And gave it to him. And his brothers were like, what in the world? Who is he? You know, that he gets that coat of many colors. Who is he that he thinks he's going to be something someday? And we're not. So when they started to grow up, he thought, oh boy, he had this dream. I'm getting ready to like do something big. You know, and that was part of God's plan. But he just began to talk about it and get excited about it. But rather than being excited about it with him, they took him and threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him. They said, oh, no. One of them said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's just put him in this pit, and he'll just die in there. Well, God had a plan B for that situation. Sent somebody in. They took him out, and they made him a slave. But he was faithful. He still was positive. He still, you know, hung on to God. And he got out of there. He began to work in the palace with the king and everything. And then, see, God had a big plan, and he was just working with the situation. And then Joseph did something else happened and got put back into the prison. And eventually he got out again, but he was like made this, the top, next to the king of the country, the top ruler. Can you believe? I mean, just think about that. You should read that story and think about all that. That's mind-boggling. Imagine what he went through sitting in prison, what he thought about and everything, and how he had to just, he must have stayed positive and everything because he was faithful. He worked hard in the prison, and he got promoted, and he got out. And they saw how wonderful he was. But anyway, so we have to think about stories like that in the Bible where, you know, maybe hard times get really hard and times get really rough. And maybe we say things that sabotage ourselves and everything. But God could bring us out of these situations and still bless our outcome. Amen? Okay, so don't focus on the obstacles and disappointments that will continuously come in life. Our focus should first and foremost be on God, His goodness, His faithfulness, and His love for us. That's what it boils down to. When things don't go your way and you want it to be just so and it didn't go your way, you have to go, you know what, God, you are more important to me than anything in this life. My eternity with you is more important than anything in this life. And I want to do everything I know how to do to be faithful, to glorify you and to honor you, and you forgive me and you redeem me and you restore me when I blow it. But at the same time, I'm going to do everything I can to stay on that path, to stay on that trajectory of making heaven my home, being with you forever, and blessing your holy name. Amen. All right, number two, don't let feelings rule. Feelings come and feel. Oh, this is an old poem I found, and I absolutely love this. I've had this in my heart forever. It's written by someone anonymous. I can't find the author. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. And, you know, that's the truth. It all boils down to the word of God. What does the word of God say for you in this situation? And it's not going to be necessarily specific for you. I mean, you know, some things that are more specific, we need words from God on. We have to pray and seek God. We have to develop a close relationship with Him. And when we develop a close relationship with Him, we'll know what God's plan is. We'll know what God's will is in this situation, and it will come under that umbrella of the Word of God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So many times we just want to try to figure things out. How many in here have gotten in trouble trying to figure things out with your own mind and make decisions? And we all have, yeah. You're humble enough to raise your hand. Thank you. The rest of you, you'll figure it out at some point soon, probably. Song of Solomon says, 2:15 says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that roam in the vineyards that are in bloom. You know, you got a big vineyard, and that's your income, that's your family business, and all these little grapes have come out, and oh, yeah, there's a big harvest and all that. And you go to bed one night, you get up the next day, and half your harvest is gone. There's no getting that back. It takes a long time to grow a big, nice vineyard like that. And that year, half your harvest is gone. And the reason how that happens is because the little foxes, it says, wants to come into the vineyards and eat those grapes. And in John 15, the Lord said that he's the true vine. He's the true vine in a vineyard. We're his branches. And the fruit that we have in our life is what comes out in our life that expresses the character of God. And that's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:9. We need to memorize it. We need to embrace this every day. Lord, you know, it's what I'm doing in, you know, exhibiting your character. Am I allowing your Holy Spirit to live through me? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's kind of like the plumb line there that we all need to pull ourselves up to measure up and to really exhibit the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in our life. And when we just die to ourselves and we just put down our will, our feelings, our thoughts, our ways, then that's when the Holy Spirit can just come through. You know, it's easy, it's natural. Okay, let's go to number three. The third way to prevent from self-sabotaging from self-sabotage is rest in God's faithfulness. Rest in God's faithfulness. God is so faithful. He's so good. When we've done everything we can do, then we just have to leave it in the hands of God, right? Sometimes you just do everything you know how to do, and it doesn't really change the situation. I know last week in my math class, I came this close to quitting. I thought, it's not worth it. I'm about to lose my mind. I'm telling you. And I just would pray and spend time with the Lord, and I felt like the Lord said, you can do it. Just hang in there. You know I don't want you to quit. And so I just hung in there, and there I was graduating Friday night. It was so surreal. I was thinking, you know, God, you are so faithful. This is taking it to a whole new level. And I appreciate that your grace has been there for me. So what is God leading you to do? God has a plan. He's going to lead you. And you got to go, what do you want me to do, Lord? You know, what is your plan? Long term, you're going to have long term goals. And then you're going to have short term goals. And those short term goals are the details in your life. And you have to, these are what really matter. Because your short term goals are going to lead you to your long term goals and vision. God wants us to work, but he wants us to rest. And that doesn't mean go over there and lay on the beach every day, you know, every day. Every chance you get, you're laying in front of that couch watching, in front of the TV on the couch watching TV or whatever. That doesn't mean, that's not what rest means. Resting in the Lord means to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. It's so hard to wait on the Lord for me. Some people, Bill's pretty natural at it. I'm the one that's like, we're actually balancing each other out because he will wait forever. If I don't go, wait a minute, let's do something here, you know. And then sometimes he'll pull me back when I'm like, oh, you know, anxious to do something. Because my dad was always the kind of person, get it done or get out of the way. I was right under him trying to help him do stuff all the time. And I was raised with that. And it's been so hard for me to say, Lord, you know, I've done all I believe I'm supposed to do that you want me to do now. Now you take it from here. And I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait on you. Prayerfully, thoughtfully, I'm just submitting, yielding, and you'll take it from here. He is so faithful. So in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. The Lord wants us to be in rest. In Hebrews, it says that he has a Sabbath rest for us, for his people. And that we will not be able to receive the blessings of God in our life. We will not be able to truly obey him if we don't have his rest in our life and in our heart. And that's the Sabbath rest that God has called us to. Let's see here. I'm just about done. I want to wrap this up in a minute, but we're called to let peace reign. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with Him, become the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers, and be thankful to God always. God has called us to peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I'll let you know. And if you're not experiencing the peace of God in your heart and in your life, what do? Regroup. Stop. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Seek Him with all of your heart. So, in conclusion, whose responsibility is it to let peace reign? Somebody tell me. Yeah, it's our own personal responsibility. It's not my husband's responsibility to let peace reign, to make me peaceful. It's not, you know, my pastors or my teachers or my friends. You know, it's my responsibility to let the peace of Christ reign in my life. So in conclusion, the three ways to prevent self-sabotage so that the devil doesn't get in the details is, number one, don't dwell on the what ifs and what onlys. What, you know, what if this things were this way? What if only things had been that way? Don't let your feelings rule. Oh, I don't feel like doing that. Well, what's God saying? Is there grace to do it or not? I mean, that's the bottom line. And rest in God's faithfulness, because then after you've done all you can do, God will come through for us. He can do like the song you sang this morning, the first song. You know, God can do anything, right? And so let's just bow our heads right now. I just want to ask you to consider something as we turn our hearts to the Lord, and just put your heart before the Lord right now. Just be honest with yourself. The Lord, you know, we've made mistakes, a lot of us, and sometimes you just get crushed. Your spirit just gets broken hearted. You get broken hearted. And because you're sad that you've made wrong choices, or you've just been hurt, and maybe it's discouraged you and disheartened you. You know, let the Lord heal you. The Bible says in Psalms that the Lord is near the brokenhearted and those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord wants to heal you this morning. I just really believe that God has each of us here this morning for this purpose, that we need to reconnect with Him in a deeper way. We need to refresh in Him in a deeper way. And if you've never really fully trusted God or had the heart to trust God in your life before this morning, I really believe you need to do that this morning. God has you here for this purpose. It's His heart and it's His desire for us to be connected with Him. And if you haven't been connected, or if it's been a while, reconnect. Connect with Him this morning. Tell Him right now from your heart and mean it. God, I want You. I want to be close to You more than anything else. Lord, lead me, guide me, help me. I'll make every effort, and I know You'll meet me there. So I want everybody to pray with me right now. I want everybody to pray, but if this is you, pray this with all of your heart and mean it. This is between you and God. Say, Lord Jesus, right now, I relinquish my will for Yours. From this day on, I will make every effort to live for You. I will make every effort to honor You. Please forgive me for living my life for myself. I will now live for You. I thank You that You've forgiven me. Refresh me with Your Holy Spirit. Awaken me to Your heart. Awaken me to the desires You have for me. I am Yours forevermore. Amen.